Shabbos coming days. And so the second half of this Islamic base, Tosha Bidima Simosa, you should literally melt your bed with tears. Your tears should be so flowing that the mattress should just disintegrate from the liquid. And your thoughts should overwhelm you. When you think about, you remember the fear that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had. So that's what he's referring to, Gemara and Brachos. Gemara and Brachos says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Tzamidim came in to visit him when he was towards the end of his life, and he was crying. And they asked him, why is he crying? He's crying because he realizes that they have taken him to Shatav Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he doesn't. There's two Shtei Drachim Lafonai. He says there's two paths ahead of me. I don't know which one they're taking me to. Are they taking me to the Toiv, or is it more used as the Mutav, the opposite? One which could be better. Okay, so the Rosh says if you think about Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was sitting there with such fear, you would like to believe that the Kal Vachomer, Ben Mendoi Shel Kal Vachomer, that we should have the same level of awareness and concern. And someone online said, if Moshe Feinstein was worried about it, we probably should worry about it too. Right? He says, but he was worried about it to the point that he was sitting and crying. Now, the Moore does say one thing that they asked him, is there anything that you didn't do? He said, you know, that obviously the greater the person is, the more responsibility that he has. This is Gemara Ksubis. I think it's the Samal Vov or Samal Zion. The Gemara says over there the story that the famous, there was this tremendous usher in Yerushalayim named Nachman Ben Gurion, which gave tremendous amounts of money to tzedakah, etc. And after the Churban Abayis, once Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was, actually Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Gemara says, was riding on a, and he comes across this woman who was so poor that she was pulling out kernels of grain which were inside the soya of the donkey. Sometimes the animal doesn't digest the grain totally. It comes out intact. She's picking out the grains, the kernels of the grain from the soya of the donkey. She saw Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, so she picked herself up and went over to Rabbi and said, Rabbi, partner saying, Rabbi, please give me something to eat. So Rabbi Zakkai says, I know you. You're the daughter of the Nachman ben Gurion. She says, Rabbi, do you remember that we signed the Maksubas? I remember you signed your Maksubas. Your Maksubas was a million gold dinarim. There's 25 silver dinarim in a gold dinar. Now, if you do your math, the parnosa of a person per year is 200 zuzin, 200 dinarim. That's silver. So gold means eight gold dinarim is enough for a person to survive on totally for 1 year. Right? So a million gold dinarim is a little more than the average parnosa. That was her ksuv. So he said, what happened to all your money? He says, we didn't get enough stock, and they lost all their money. She says, the Moor says, what do you mean? You gave tremendous amounts of money to stock. The full gamel oshichon, the Moor says, the person puts the load according to the camel. The same way a person is a camel driver, so the weaker camel he puts less load on. The stronger the camel, the more he puts on top. So the feed the madrega of the person, what he can accomplish, that's the expectation which are made from him. So Nachman Dima Megurian, with his connections and his money, as much as he gave, it didn't reach the level that he was expected to, the term Russian expected him to do. He lost his chus to have the money. The Morris says, if you want to preserve your money, mamloch, the act, you know, salting something preserves it. So mamloch momen is chaser. The way you preserve money is by taking some of the money and giving it away. That's how you hold on to your money. The person who tries to hold on to all of their money preserves the money by sticking it into the bank and trying to hold on to all the money goes away. The person wants to maintain their money by giving some of the money to the stock, you hold on to it. So that's true when it comes to mamloch, that's true when it comes to every other area. So Rechem and Zaka was the Gadol HaDor, so the responsibility that he had is a mind-boggling responsibility. The opportunities that he had were also mind-boggling opportunities. Right? But Rechem and Zaka sat there and thought about what, you know, given his life and given his life's work, what he could have accomplished, what he should have accomplished, and he's not sure what's going to be. So Rechem and Zaka is sitting there with that type of a pachad. You know, so we should have such a, we should push it, we should sit there with a pachad. I want to tell you a crazy story. The Musig of what it means, the impact that we have. You know, I'm talking about this idea of didn't talk about, you don't know what impact you can have on a person. So I had this, where was our son this summer, so we had an alumni get together. So there was a young man who, you know, I knew from, he was from the community, he wasn't officially part of the yeshiva at any point in time. But he used to hang around the yeshiva a lot, you know, living in learning arts, it's all in yeshiva over there. He insisted he wants to have the get together in his house. So nobody else, you know, was felt with Dafka one way or the other. One person did, but he had over official shul, so he had, you know. So we had it in this fellow's house. So he asked him afterwards, like, why was it so important to have it in your house? He said, I want to tell you. He says, one Elul, I came into the yeshiva when you were learning Chazgam Larosh, and I heard something you spoke about the idea of, you know, the importance of learning Torah, etc., and it clicked. That's when I made my decision. I really want to learn a Karl. I never really decided that. He says, and everything I have right now, all these years he's been in Karl, he's been in Karl, like, you know, 8, 10 years. He says, so that one time you said that shmooze, that I heard that shmooze. It's a mind-boggling statement. So that's the impact that we can have on somebody. So you imagine the responsibility that comes with. It's a tremendous shmooze. There's also a tremendous responsibility. So you have Gan Eden in front of you, and you have Ganem in front of you. That's what Rechem Zaka was saying. I don't know. Did I accomplish what I'm supposed to accomplish? So he spoke of the deal. You know, everybody has a tremendous power. Revolver writes, you know, just I think the he has in Chelik Aleph and Shar Gimli talks about the coach. He calls it Oras Ponim. Oras Ponim is the power to lighten, give a smiling countenance to somebody, a light countenance to somebody. He says that ability to look at somebody, focus on them, give them an interest, give them a smile, and can change a person. He says that everybody's waiting for it. The Talmud is waiting it from the Rebbe, the Rebbe's waiting it from the Talmud. The Kehillah is waiting it from the Rav is waiting it from the Kehillah. The teacher is waiting it from the student is waiting it from the teacher. The husband is waiting it from the wife, the wife's waiting it from the husband. The parent, the child, everybody's waiting. A chaver to a chaver. And the problem is they wait because, you know, they're always waiting for the other guy to start. And the chasm gets bigger and bigger and bigger, so you almost feel you can't bridge the chasm. Everybody's just waiting. You should show interest in them. And when you show interest in them, you interact with them and you show an interest, you can warm somebody. And that warm somebody gives the person the go and to accomplish what they need to accomplish, etc. And it's not just them. So that person gets more motivated and they become a little better, so that defines who they marry. And it defines what their family life looks like, and defines how they raise their children, and that defines the next generation, and it defines all the people that they teach and the people that they interact with. And you're talking about the power that you have with a smile to notice somebody, to be interested in them, to care about them. You know, the person's a little bit down and out, and you say, you know, how are things doing? You give them a shiur chizuk, and that machaz at them, and they continue doing what they have to do. It's not just that moment. It all adds up. He writes a beautiful mashal. Tells the Rav writes a beautiful mashal. I think it's important to understand that we tend to think in terms of this, like, you know, major global impact. You know, we're changing people's lives. You know, Kira Rechaikim. You know, yesterday the guy was, you know, was Michal Yom Kippur and Shabbos and the Eden Shreif, and then now today the guy is wearing sitzes and tefillin and, you know, and who knows what. Right? That's our picture. That the guy is a little more mechuzik. That's not where we see it visiting somebody else. We don't see it visiting ourselves also. So he says the following mashal. He says, if you picture a football field, didn't say football field, a large field which is covered with sesame seeds. It's an empty field. There's nothing growing there. And the person laid out sesame seeds in the field to dry. And he covered the whole field with sesame seeds. So sesame seeds are very small. So that field There's probably billions of sesame seeds spread out over the field to dry. And somebody comes along and he adds another layer of sesame seeds on top of it. He says, the reality is, you almost can't see the difference between the height of one sesame seed and two sesame seeds. The difference in height, you're talking about less than a millimeter. A millimeter, maybe a millimeter. But the reality is you added 2 billion sesame seeds. So we tend to think of a person as this little skinny guy over here. Every human being is connected to the whole Bria. You know, on a Kabbalah level, for sure, the Muslim, you know, Kabbalistically, every human being impacts the Bria. So if this person raises himself up a mashu to the point you almost can't even notice the difference, but the whole Bria has changed. Every single part of the Bria, all of the cosmic realities have changed. So you didn't change a person, you changed the whole Bria. A mashu changes the whole Bria is a mind-boggling thing. He says, and furthermore, the mushal is not even a good mushal. Because when you add a layer, the bottom layer remains the same. There's another layer on top. He says, when you change a person, a mashuhu, he's the same guy with a mashuhu difference. He's a different person. He's a mashuhu difference. So you've changed everything. Right? And that's true in our lives. You know, that change which we have, which is the power we have to change, some other power we should change ourselves. You know, we tend to think in this gigantic terms that we're going to push it. I'm going to be, and usually those don't work. That means I'm making a real bona fide change, a mashu of a change, and then another mashu of a change. You know, be it 6 months later, a year later, whatever it is, and I keep adding up. And at the end of the day, you look back and say, "Where was I 10 years ago? Where am I now? I'm a different person." It's these small changes which add up. But those small changes add up, make you a different person, make your interactions with your spouse a different person, make your interactions with your kids a different person, and everything changes. And all of a sudden it becomes this major impact, which spreads and spreads and spreads. So it's a tremendous power that we have, and that's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was scared of. You know, so we have this tremendous power comes with tremendous responsibility. You know, I forgot who said it, one of the politicians says, you know, when they dropped the first atom bomb, you know, that the energy which was unleashed in the world meant that we had a whole new level of power, concept of responsibility that we never had before. You know, when my impact was I can drop a bomb and it hurts one person, so I have to be at X level, you know, this making a decision before I do it. When I can drop a bomb and it affects millions of people, I merely better think very hard before I take that action. Power equals responsibility. So we have tremendous power. I mean, the tremendous responsibility. So that was what Rebecca Mazaki was scared of. But the flip side is tremendous responsibility means you have tremendous power. And we should never forget that point.